Thank you. Thank you, Brother Carter. It's a real joy to be here tonight. Believe me, I'm trying to take a little time off. I really haven't been on vacation in about 10 years. And it's my own fault, but you know, when you get involved in things and what you're doing in the work of the Lord, when your vocation is your avocation, it's exciting. You know, I had an uncle one time. He's in heaven today, and he had a box company, and I'd go to North Carolina to visit him on vacation. And he said, "I want to take you all out to eat on Wednesday night." I said, "Wonderful." And I said, "Well, I got to go to church. I'm going to church Wednesday night." He said, "Aren't you on vacation?" I said, "Yeah, I'm on vacation." "Well, he says, you don't need to go to church. You're on vacation. Isn't that what you do every day of your life?" And he said, when I go on vacation, I don't go to box companies." And his wife told me, said, "Yeah, he's lying. He does. And he said, and then he told me his pastor, that's what his pastor did. But he wasn't an independent Baptist preacher, by the way. But anyhow, I asked my wife, "What should I speak on tonight?" She said, "About 20 minutes. I opened my Bible and there was a little note in here that said KISS. I thought, "Wow, for my wife, kiss." And I looked a little closer and said, "Keep it simple, sweetie." Aren't you glad to be in the house of God tonight? I'll tell you what, I'd rather be here in the best hospital in Florida. Amen. I've been in a few of the hospitals. And I pray tonight God will speak to your heart in a very special way. We want to be a blessing to you and encourage, but we love this church, love your pastor. He's one of my dear friends. I'm going to open this, okay? So I thank God for the opportunity to be able to speak and the calling of God on our lives. And coming up will be 48 years since I've been in the ministry. And I thank the Lord for the blessings of God. And I pray that God will speak to your heart, especially students. And I'm always excited about students and their lives. Actually, there are three girls that are here at school that we had an impact in their life. And one family moved from our coast, the West Coast, back to the East Coast. And they're now in my son's church. And so I'm thankful for that and the blessings of the Lord. If you have your Bible, I want you to open them with me tonight, please, to a couple of references of Scripture. First of all, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. And then I want to go over to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. We want to read some portions of the Word of God there if we could tonight, please. And Isaiah, you know, Isaiah chapter 41, chapter 40, we all know pretty well, 40, 31. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." It's a great verse. It's a verse that I claimed in my life when I was going in Bible college and trusting the Lord. I want you to notice verse 9 of chapter 41. "Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and have not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee, and yea, I will help thee, and yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And then to drop down to verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, for I will help thee." Then if you go over to 1 Kings, please, with me, and you'll notice Solomon is finishing a prayer here, and the power of this prayer and what was taking place in the life here of the people was such a blessing. And it says in verse 54 of chapter number 8, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he had promised, that there hath not failed one word of all this good promise which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And the Lord our God is with us, and he, as he was with our fathers, and did not leave us nor forsake us. Verse 60 says, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Now, Father, we pray thy blessings tonight upon our hearts and lives, and speak to our hearts in a special and wonderful way, and make us realize tonight these great promises of our great God. Lord, tonight, when we don't know where to turn, sometimes we can turn to you. We can turn to the promises of the Word of God. We can turn to the power of your scriptures, and we can be encouraged and blessed, be instructed and loved. And so tonight we ask that you'll take this time in our hearts to strengthen us and to help us, in Jesus' name, amen. You'll notice he says there in verse 56, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he had promised, that there hath not failed one word of all his good promise by the hand of Moses, his servant. Isn't it interesting here that God says that all of these promises that he gave us are true, and we can believe on, we can trust them. Not one promise has failed. Not one good promise has failed. And I'm thankful for the promises of God. I'm thankful that in time of trouble, I've been able to go and find strength from the promises of the Word of God. And to understand that God is good. And I want to talk to you about God, the good God of promise tonight. That God has promised us things and encouraged us in our hearts to be strengthened in time of difficulty, the time of trouble. You know, it's always exciting when everything seems to be going good and you're on that mountaintop and the experience and the blessings that you have, and you just, you know, you think, wow, what could go wrong? Well, hang on, it's coming. See, the devil is alive and well here on planet Earth, and he'll do everything he can to bring you down and to take away your life and your testimony. And you need to realize that as Jesus, even himself, when he was tempted by the devil, said, it is written, it is written. We use the Word of God, the promises of the Word of God, and how powerful they are, how important they are. Now, turn over there to Isaiah for a second, and let's compare this verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I will strengthen thee, yea, and I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How interesting it is to see here that God is such a good God. Don't we sing? I like singing that song. God is so good. God is so good. You know, I sing, he's so good to me. My son and I, you know my son, I'm sure, Tom, I'm getting to be known as Tom Odom's father. You're Tom Odom's father, yes. Yes, me. But anyhow, we preached in Maine a few years ago. We went to Boston and spent the night in Boston before we flew out the next day. And we were downtown, and downtown they were having, the garbage men were on strike. And the garbage was piling up in the streets, and they were having some kind of demonstration. Police were everywhere, and we were down there passing out tracts. I mean, it was an exciting thing. I'd never been downtown Boston. We was passing out tracts, and we got to witness to a guy and to give him the gospel. And there was an old church there downtown, and there were some people down there. I said, "Are you having services?" He said, "No, it's an AA meeting." Oh, I said, "Okay." And, you know, some churches today, that's about all they do, you know, AA meetings and things like that, and crochet and all that. But anyhow, you and I know that true churches still preach the gospel, amen? And so we found this Wendy's. I said, "Let's go over to this Wendy's and get us something and a little snack or something." So we walked in. There was two policemen in there and a big, both of them were motorcycle policemen. One was a big black fellow and the other guy was a skinny guy. And I said, let's witness to these police officers. So I walked over and started talking to them. And the black police officer, he was a Christian. And I said, he said, "You're a preacher?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "God's good, isn't he?" I said, "All the time." Amen. And I said, "I believe God's good." He said, "All the time." You say that, folks, like, you say, "God's good," and they'll say, "All the time." And then you say to them, "All the time," and they'll say, "God's good." And the other police officer said, "Look, we got to go." He said, "Now, be quiet. I'm talking to the preacher here. We're having a good time talking about God." Amen. And so what a blessing it was. What an encouraging time it was to know God's presence in our life. Amen. And the blessings of the Lord and how good God is. Amen. You know, I'm thankful for this area here. I grew up in Florida all my life, lived all my life in Florida. And I love Florida. I hope I never get the sand out of my shoes. Every time I go up north and it's cold, the best thing I do about being up north is coming home. You know, getting on a plane and coming home. And but anyhow, I'm so thankful for the goodness of God. Now I want you to look at this. He says here, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." First of all, I want you to know God stands by us. Amen. God stands by us. God is with us. There's no reason to be afraid. He said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I remember when a few years ago when I developed some heart problems and I didn't know whether I was going to live or die and what God was doing in my life, and I began to pray and find scriptures. And this scripture really spoke to my heart. "Fear not," he says, "fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed." And then, of course, I found some other scriptures that were an encouragement to my heart, and I began to claim them in the scripture. One in particular is over in the book of Psalms, the 27th chapter. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But in the last verse of chapter 27, it says, "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. And wait, I say, on the Lord." Oh, to know that God strengthens us. And that he says, "Be not dismayed." God tells us here, "Be not dismayed, for I am with thee." You know, I'm reminded of the three Hebrew children who were facing the fiery furnace, and they were told that they were going to have to bow to this idol, and they said, "We're not going to do that." And we know that they said that our God is able. Amen. To deliver us. You know, they knew that God would stand with them. Amen. They had the confidence of God's power in their life. They said, "Our God is able." Amen. The confidence of God's power working in your life. They had the confidence not only of God's power, but they had the confidence of God's purpose. And they said, "But if not, we're going to trust God." Amen. But if not, you know, God didn't always deliver everybody. But you know, when he did deliver some of those people, that's an encouragement to us. Amen. That's a blessing to us. Amen. How would you have felt if you had to stand before that king and be thrown in the fiery furnace? I really wonder how some people, you know what's interesting? Jesus was there with them. The Bible says, and the fourth one looked like the Son of God. I believe that was Jesus Christ. You know, the King James Bible is capitalized. It's important for you and I to realize tonight that you don't get in the fires that Jesus, God's not there with you. He'll be there with you. And you know what? The Lord cares about us. He stands with us. And then they were confident not only of his power, but his purpose, but also his plan. They said, our God's able to deliver us, but if not, we will not worship and we will not bow to that idol that you've said. We're going to follow God. We're going to believe God in our lives. We're going to trust God, and God's going to bring us through. Now, they were willing to die for it. You know, there are a lot of people today who talk about willing to die for Christ. But you know what? What we really need is people who are willing to live for Christ. Now, if you sit there and say, I'm willing to die for Christ, you got to realize when you say that, you may come to that someday. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the last days. I mean, if you don't think we're not in the last days, wake up, smell the coffee. You know, some people are drinking it, still drinking it. Some are painting with it and everything else. But, you know, I want you to know tonight that, you know, our politicians, they don't know what to do. They don't have the slightest idea. And we as God's people today need to turn back to God and say, God is able. God is able. I want you to notice that he says here, fear thou not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Not only does he stand with you, but he will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. He says, for I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He will strengthen us. Did you know that his promise is a great promise of his presence. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. His promise of his presence to be with us always, no matter where we go. You know, Joshua took over the leadership of the nation of Israel from Moses. And that was a big task. The Bible said that there was never a leader before Moses or after like Moses. He was a great man of God. And of course, Joshua walked with him and went up to the mountain, and he was right there, his right-hand man, and he experienced a lot of things, and God prepared him. But I know how he must have felt when he was to take the people off over across Jordan. And God assured him there in Joshua chapter 1, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Amen. Now, isn't that a great promise? That's a great promise that God was going to strengthen Joshua just like he strengthened Moses. Amen. What a great promise. I remember we bought our property years ago. We bought 20 acres of property, and we went from about a little less than 2 acres of property to 20 acres. And it was out in the woods and 3 miles east of where our church was. And I remember walking out there, and I got that Joshua where it said, "Whatever every place the sole of your feet shall trod." Yeah. I'm holding my Bible, walking in those palmetto bushes. Now, I'm watching for snakes. See, I don't like snakes. I hate snakes. I hate 3 kinds of snakes: live ones, dead ones, and rubber ones. I just hate snakes. And I was just stepping, walking around that property, claiming that property for God, and having God, you know, believing God. You know, I preached last week, that Sunday morning, at another church, and on Sunday morning, I met with the custodian earlier. And on the parking lot was a potbelly pig, the biggest potbelly pig I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he was about that high. And some people say they make them their pets. I can't imagine having a pig for a pet. But I did hear of a farmer that had one, loved him so well, he'd take him by everywhere he went, had him in the front seat of his truck, had him strapped in, and he was going down the road. The policeman pulled him over and said, see your license? He said, yes, sir. He said, I got to ask you a question. Why you got that pig in the front seat? He said, well, he said, this is my favorite pig. He said, you can't put him in the front seat. You got to put him in the back. Put him in the back there and take him. He says, by the way, he said, well, there's a zoo right down the street. Take him down to the zoo. He said, okay. So he took him to the zoo. Next to a day or so, the police saw him again. Same pig in the front seat, pulled him over and said, didn't I just pull you over the other day and you had this pig in the front seat? He said, didn't I tell you to take that pig to the zoo? And he said, yes, sir. Officer, he liked it so well, today we're going to Disney World. Now, God's creations. I never could understand why God created snakes. But anyhow, every place the sole of your foot shall trod, I shall give it to you, he said. God said, I will strengthen you. Now notice what he says here. I will strengthen thee and help thee. Now it's interesting to notice, go ahead in chapter 40, look at verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So he says, I will renew your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, renewed strength. Well, you know, I get tired sometimes, like everybody does, and you get a good rest, and you just feel refreshed, and you feel renewed. Renewed strength. God said, I will strengthen you, and I'll give you renewed strength. They that wait upon the Lord will get renewed strength. And God wants to renew your strength every day. Now, I want you to notice something. Not only does he want to give you renewed strength, but he wants to increase your strength. Look at verse 29 of chapter 40. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increases strength. The Bible said he increases our strength. He increases your strength. You know, sometimes you think, I just can't go on. I just can't do it. And yet Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. We just can't give up. Amen. You know, someone said, if you're about to quit, just hang in there for 5 more minutes. Just 5 or 10 more minutes. Push five or 10 more minutes. Someone said, if you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. But I want to tell you something. When you turn to God, God will give you renewed strength. Amen. And so here God, who is a good God, is saying to Isaiah, I will strengthen thee, and I will renew your strength, and I will, he said, not only renew your strength, he said, I will increase your strength, and I will help you to know that I am with you. Think about it with David for a few minutes with you. You know, David was just a little boy, 16, 18, we know how old he was. Came down to the battle. You know the story, how he came to the battle and was bringing food to his brothers, and he saw this whole big Philistine about 8, 9 feet tall mocking God and God's people, and he thought to himself, who is this uncircumcised Philistine doing this? You know, when you go back with me to 1 Kings 17 for a second, would you? And look what happened here. In 1 Kings 17, the Bible tells us that David saw this and it bothered him, and he cried out, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that something could be done? I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 17, not 1 Kings. And if you'll notice, he says, is there not a cause? Then, here's what I want you to see. David knew that God had strengthened him and gave him the power to kill a bear and a lion one day. And so here's what he says in verse number 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee like, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. Or in Israel, excuse me. Now look what he said in verse 47. And all this assemble shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword nor spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David said, the battle is the Lord's. The Lord is going to bring victory here. The Lord's going to bring us through this. And we know that happened. We know the Lord brought him through it because David trusted God. How wonderful it is for us to understand that. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Psalms, the 27th chapter. Psalms chapter 27, if you will, for a moment. And I want you to notice a great truth here tonight. In Psalms 27, how important it is for us to realize that God, not only will he stand with us, and not only will he strengthen us, but God will also sustain us. Now let's notice what it says here in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, and whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Look at verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me up upon a rock. David knew how God was going to take care of him and how God was going to protect him. And he said here, in this time of trouble, he said God was going to guide me. He said, the Lord is my light. What does it say there in Psalms 119? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, it's a lamp unto my feet. Think about that. They had little lamps that they held with oil in them. They'd hold them up. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. They would hold this lamp up so they could see their feet when they walked. And then it became a light unto my path so I could see where I was going. That's what God's word said it is to us. How important it is for us to know that God will take care of us, and God will give to us his protection and his love. He says there in Isaiah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's going to hold us up with the right hand of his righteousness. Would you think about that? How righteous God is tonight. You know what's interesting? God, who knows us, who knows our shortcomings, who knows everything about us, still loves us, amen, still cares for us, amen, still wants to do something in your life, still wants to make things happen in your life that people might know that there's a God in all the world. Amen. My wife and I were out eating last night, and we were talking to the waitress in a very busy place, and so I gave her a track, and I said, now, this is an invitation to my church. I told her where I was, and I said, you probably won't be there. I told her about this church, and I said, look, I want you to know on the back side of this, it tells you how you can go to heaven. She said, I want to go there. I said, you read this, and you do what it says, and here, I wrote down my cell number. I said, you call me, and I'll send you some literature. It was just so busy, we couldn't really get into giving her the plan of salvation, but I told her that she, and it was interesting, she said, I want to go there. Now, you know, there's a lot of people who want to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. But unless the Lord comes, you're going to have to die if you're going to get to heaven. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And by the way, did you know death is an appointment? The Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, but after this, a judgment. Think about that. Some people have an appointment early in life. My father did. He was 24 years old when he lost his life, and I was just a baby. My three-year-old brother was in the car when it was a car accident, he was killed. And my mother found out she was expecting my brother. And later on, this was right after the war, and she did her very best, and we lived with my grandparents and my grandmother. And my mother later remarried, and we had I had a stepsister. And I'll never forget, I want to tell this story because when we all got saved early in our life, my mother was not saved. She, matter of fact, she was Presbyterian. And now some Presbyterians are saved, just like some Baptists are saved. Amen. You know what I mean? You know, you heard about that angel taking that congregation of Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutherans to heaven, and they come over this big wall, and he said, shh. Be quiet, we pass this wall. Why we gotta be quiet? He said, because the Baptists are on the other side and they think they're the only people here. And so, you know, the only difference between a good Methodist and a Presbyterian is the river. We'll come over if they'll come under. Amen. And now she went, one day she said, we're gonna go to church. And she said she didn't have a car. And we're gonna walk down to catch the bus down the street. And the bus went north and a city bus went south. When she first told me about going, I thought it was a bus ministry, but it wasn't. It was that church did later have a bus ministry. And so it just happened, we got on the bus going north. And we took the bus north and for about 2 miles, got off. And this little church had just got started, the Bible Baptist Church. Started in 1949, 1950. Dr. Bedell's family were part of it, Mrs. Bedell, some of the others later, my parents. And so she went in there. She's telling the story to my son. And she said, "Well, Mom, Grandma, tell me about it." She said, "Well, I went there and he preached. Man, he preached like a man on fire." He said, "I wasn't used to that, Presbyterian. I'm not used to that." So our Presbyterian comes out in bedroom slippers and a kimono and all that kind of stuff, you know. And she said, "I thought he was yelling at me." And said, "I was so mad, I left. I said, I'm not going back to that church." And so we got on the bus and we went back home. The next day, next week, God convicted my mother so much, she said, we're going to get on that bus again and go back to that church. And we did. And you know what happened? She got saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She got born again and God changed her life and God began to work. And later on, my brother and I were saved and my stepfather was not saved. And he had really grown up somewhat in a Baptist church, but he got away from God. I don't think he ever got saved, and he got into drinking and alcoholism, and it's a very difficult life for a while. And I remember my mother telling this story to me just before she died. She said, "You know, I was trying to raise you boys, and it was very difficult. I wanted you to turn out right." And Mrs. Bedell, who is here at the church, who played the piano, organ, and they worked together and knew each other at church. She encouraged my mother. She said, "Listen, God is able to help you raise those boys. And let God work in that. God has a plan for their life. And if you'll just be faithful and believe God, that God will stand with you and God will strengthen you, you will see the outcome."
Amen.
Well, here I am standing before the pulpit, in the pulpit, and been pastoring 42 years because God's plan was being done. God's promises are true, every one of them. And they will not fail us as Christian people if we'll trust God and believe God with all our heart. And what a blessing it is. What an encouragement that was to my life from her, and to understand that. You know, the righteousness of his person is in our presence. God is in your life if you're saved. The Holy Spirit of God, the God of the universe, the one who spoke into existence, he dwells within you and I through the power of the Holy Ghost. And you and I have power way beyond anything this world has to offer. And you know, David said, "He hides me in his pavilion, in the secret of his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle." Of course, the tabernacle were tents, and when the kings traveled, they would have their soldiers and army all around them. And then they would make camp, and they would have a pavilion made. And then the army would be around them, and then the people would camp all around. And somewhere in that center was a tabernacle or a tent that housed the king. And so he says, he's saying here in this verse, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and shall he set me up upon a rock." Amen. Boy, I'm so thankful for God's protection.
Amen.
God's blessings in our lives.
Amen.
And know that God's there. You know, things aren't always going to be the way you want them to be. You know, I'm so appalled today, and I won't get into all this, but all this stuff on television, all of this this movement and talking about, you know, healing and all that. God heals. There's no doubt about that. But I want to tell you something. Every time Jesus ever healed anybody in the scripture, and even those he raised from the dead still died. There's a purpose for healing. And I want you to understand today that you and I, as God's people, that if we'll pray and believe God's will for our life and what God has for us, and know, see, when you know God's will, it becomes very clear in your life. Very clear. Then when it becomes very clear, it becomes very consuming. You become consumed with what God's will is for your life, what you should be doing for him, What should be happening in your life? And then when that happens, then he confirms it by events and circumstances that happen in your life that you know that you are in and have done the will of God. 47 years ago, I surrendered my life on the last night of the last verse of a mission conference. I was sitting right about over here with another gentleman who was a bad influence in my life. And the preacher said this, Brother Carter, he said, this is the last night of the conference, the last night, or last verse of the invitation. And there's somebody here, and he pointed back there, and I knew he's pointing to me. He said, somebody's going to miss God's will if he don't come tonight. I said to the man next to me, he's talking to you. And he's talking to me. He said, he may be talking to you, but he ain't talking to me. I said, I know he's talking to you because I know how you're living. He said, well, you can go if you want to go. And I said, well, I'm going, buddy, because I can't sit here any longer. God is doing something in my heart. And I got to be right with God tonight. And I can't leave this place the way I came. And I slipped out and came. I'm telling you, God did something in my life that night.
Amen.
When I surrendered the will of God and his presence in my life, his power. And right here on this side of the auditorium where I had found Christ some 10 years earlier, 12 years earlier, I found the Lord. In that same side of the auditorium, I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't surrender to preach. I didn't surrender to the mission, to the ministry. I just said, God, here's my life. Here, you do with me with what you want me to do. I can't keep living this way. And when you make yourself available to God, what's it say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that means? Learn to think God's way. And you'll never learn to think God's way until you submit to the will of God. Someone said, I've been married 45 years. I still don't know how women think. I'm still trying to think about how my wife thinks. I try to catch it. I try to get a little ahead of her. Now, don't you men look at me. You haven't got there yet either. Who was it? Some guy wrote a book, Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus or something. I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you this, are you listening to me? When you open this book, this Bible here, what we call the Bible, you open the mind of God. God will reveal to you what you know that you need, the comfort you need, the strength you need, the will of God and what you should be doing with your life. And I want to tell you something. I know that that night I did the right thing. And you know what? That night we parted company, a young man and I. 20 years later, my pastor died and we had a funeral. I was there for part of the service and I gave that testimony. And I had no idea he was sitting in the middle of the congregation. And when I finished, I walked down and I saw him. And we were standing at the casket, some of the preacher boys and preacher out of his ministry. And he came down the aisle and I felt, I've never mentioned his name, would never embarrass him for anything. And I saw him. As he got closer, he put his arms out like this, Brother Carter. And he got close to me, and he threw them around to me, and he began to hug me and buried his head in my shoulder and started to cry. He said, you're right, James. He said, that night I missed the will of God. That night I missed what God wanted for me. Now he'd gone through four marriages. And the woman he was with wasn't his wife. I want to tell you something. It pays to serve God. Don't give up on God today. He loves you. He cares for you. Don't worry about what the devil's doing. He's going to get his someday. Just stay faithful to things of God and believe the word of God. And you'll know in your heart that God will bring you through.
Amen.
Let's pray.